couple of days about the mitzvah that comes up in this week's parsha, and that is the very important mitzvah of Bris Milah. So as we know, the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos talks about what is a person supposed to do should a Bris Milah fall out on Shabbos. So the Gemara there in Maseches Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph, teaches, Osin Kotzarche Hamila B'Shabbos. When the eighth day falls out on Shabbos, we perform a Bris Milah as we normally would. Nothing has changed, and we do everything as would be done during the week. And therefore the Gemara says, Marlin, we do the bris, we cut off the foreskin, uporin, umotzitzin, we do the mitzitza, venosnin ale isplanis, we put on any kinds of ointments and bandages, everything that's necessary for a healthy bris milah is done on Shabbos, the same way it's done during the week. And the Gemara Maseches Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Beis, learns this from the Pasuk in Parshas Tazria, because the Pasuk says, Isha ki Tazria v'yalda zachar, Uvayom hashmini yimol b'sar alah. So on the eighth day after the child is born, you're supposed to give a bris milah, says the Gemara, Uvayom hashmini afila b'Shabbos. That means whether Yom Hashmini falls out on Tuesday or on Friday or on Shabbos, whatever the Yom Hashmini is, we do the bris milah on that day. So therefore the Gemara learns, bris milah is certainly docha Shabbos. The Gemara, in fact, in Maseches Yuma says, the same way that bris milah is docha Shabbos, and that is only one of the evarim of a person that needs perfection, that needs to be cured, so to speak. You need to make the milah the way it should be, and therefore it's docha Shabbos. Therefore, says the Gemara, from here perhaps we can learn that when you have a situation of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, where a person's entire body is in jeopardy, and the entire body needs to be healed, certainly, says the Gemara, we can learn from bris milah that you're allowed to be mechala Shabbos as well. If for one aver of a person, for one limb, you're allowed to be mechala Shabbos, certainly for the entire body, says the Gemara, you would be allowed to be mechala Shabbos. Either way, the only time we allow for a bris milah to be done on Shabbos is when we're talking about a bris milah where the eighth day falls out on Shabbos. But let's say you have a child who is not healthy and could not have the bris on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, and now the first available opportunity to do the bris is on Shabbos. So the Gemara tells us clearly that that bris milah would not defer Shabbos. That bris milah would have to wait until Sunday, and you cannot be mechala Shabbos. Similarly, writes the Gemara, if you have a woman who gave birth not naturally, if a woman gave birth through a C-section, so the Gemara assumes that in such a case, we would not do the bris milah on Shabbos either. It has to be a natural delivery, a natural birth, and only then do we assume that it's docha Shabbos, which leads to a very important contemporary question. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow, and that is, what do we do today when many women have natural births, but perhaps the conception was not natural? Maybe we should say also if the child was not conceived naturally, let's say it was through IVF or any other mechanism, maybe we should say that that child who was born on Shabbos also should not have a bris milah. That's a major contemporary question. There's a lot to talk about with regard to that, and that's not a simple issue at all. We find in a number of places in the Gemara that Chazal were concerned, and they made a takana, they made a gzeira, because they said, if we're not going to institute this issue that we have, maybe it's going to lead someone to do something far worse. So for a few examples, the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, very famously, Tkiyah shofar midaraisa mishra shari b'Rosh Hashanah shechalias b'Shabbos. One is supposed to blow shofar whatever day of the week Rosh Hashanah falls out on. The Torah says you're supposed to blow shofar. And yet the Gemara says that even though if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we're supposed to blow the shofar, Rabbanon hu degazerbe, the Chachamim were concerned, and they said that a person should abstain from blowing the shofar if Rosh Hashanah would fall out on Shabbos. Why? Because they're concerned maybe Shama yitlenu biyado, maybe the Baal Tokeh is going to wake up on Rosh Hashanah morning and say, I forgot all about it, I didn't prepare, and I don't really know how to prepare, and he's going to run to the person who really knows how to blow the shofar properly. He's going to say, look, give me a lesson quickly, and he's going to come to carry the shofar outside in a Rishus HaRabim, which is going to be a far worse Aveira. And therefore, says the Gemara, we tell everybody not to blow shofar at all on Shabbos. This way, nobody will come to carry the shofar outside. And similarly, we have the Gemara Maseches Sukkah, where the Gemara says, if Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, really we're supposed to shake the lulav and esrog on Shabbos as well. And yet the Gemara says we have a concern that maybe somebody's not going to know how to shake the dalad minim, and therefore they're going to carry it outside to the rabbi's house to teach him how to shake the dalad minim. You're going to violate the avera of hotzah b'Shabbos, and therefore the Gemara says one is not allowed to shake lulav on Shabbos, even though Sukkot, strictly speaking, we should be shaking the lulav. And finally, we have a Gemara Maseches Megillah, where the Gemara tells us when Purim falls out on Shabbos, it should be the same halacha, and that is, we should lay in the Megillah whether Purim falls out on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Shabbos. What should be the difference? Either way, today is the day of Purim, today is the day we commemorate the Nes. Why shouldn't we lay in the Megillah? And the Gemara says, however, the Chacham were concerned that if you're going to allow someone to lay in the Megillah, maybe somebody did not adequately prepare the Megillah. Maybe the Baal Kori doesn't know the Kriya, and don't say that that never happens, because as we know, every Shabbos we come to Shul and people are not adequately prepared sometimes for the Kriya HaTorah, so not the expert professional Bali Kriya that we have here, but sometimes in other communities we have such a phenomenon. And the question is, should we be concerned about that on Purim as well? And maybe someone's going to carry the Megillah outside to have someone teach them how to lane it. And therefore the Gemara says, you know what? When Purim falls out on Shabbos, no carrying the Megillah, no laning the Megillah. This way nobody will lead themselves to do something which is a malacha on Shabbos. So Tosus asks the obvious question. We just said that when we have a bris milah that falls out, the Yom HaShmini on Shabbos, you do the bris. Why aren't we concerned? Shema Yavi Renu. Shouldn't we be concerned? Maybe there's no Erev in the community, and the Mohel has to bring along his tools, and maybe he's not going to know how to do the bris. He's going to wake up Shabbos morning and say, oh yeah, I was hired to do the bris. I forgot what I was doing. I forgot how to do it. Maybe he's going to run to the expert Mohel, and he's going to ask him to give him some quick lessons. Shouldn't we be concerned for the same thing? And we should say, the same way you don't do a Tkiyah Shofar on Shabbos, and you don't shake the Lulav on Shabbos, and you also don't lay in the Megillah on Shabbos, we should also abstain from performing a Bris Milah on Shabbos, because maybe someone is going to go outside into Rishus HaRabim. Well, Tosus answers very simply, who would ever hire a Mohel that doesn't know what he's doing? The concern just is irrelevant. Nobody would ever hire a Mohel that doesn't really know how to do the Bris Milah. This is something that we don't take chances with. When it comes to Mikra Megillah, yeah, once in a while the community's stuck and they're going to hire somebody who might not know how to lay in the Megillah so well, and maybe the concern's going to arise. But when it comes to a Bris Milah, nobody would ever hire somebody who doesn't really know very clearly what they're supposed to be doing. And therefore, Tosus writes, this concern cannot be translated into the case of Milah B'Shabbos, and therefore, there is nothing to be concerned about. There is a fascinating question raised by the Netziv, and that is that we know on Pesach night, even if Pesach falls out on Shabbos, we know that we have the Seder on Leil Shabbos. There's no issue. We don't push off Pesach to another day. We have Pesach whatever day it falls out. Well, ask the Netziv, and the Stechemet quotes this in his name, shouldn't we say the same concern? There are many halachos regarding how exactly one is supposed to eat matzah, and how one is supposed to drink the dalet kosas, and what about the maror? Is this good for maror? And did I eat it quickly enough? And is this a big enough shear? And we have many questions that can come up with regard to the mitzvahs on Leil HaSeder, and therefore ask the Netziv, how come the Chacham didn't make the same takana and tell us, when Pesach falls out on the night of Shabbos, on Friday night, maybe we should tell a person, don't eat matzah, don't eat marah, don't have dalet kosas, because maybe you're going to run to the rabbi's house, you didn't prepare for Pesach, you ran in from work right before Yom Tov, right before Shabbos, and maybe you're going to come to violate the laws of Shabbos by carrying something outside. So that's the question that Netziv deals with, and Netziv Pesach Frank, and the Kli Chemda, and Rav Meir Arik, many Acharonim have the same question, why is it that we don't transfer this issue to the mitzvah of achilas matzah as well? So the Netziv writes, the answer is very simple. Who would ever go out late at night? There's no street lights outside, so why should we be concerned? You sit down to the night of the Seder, you're in your house, that's it. You're not going anywhere. Even if you have a question, there's no lights outside, so you can't go to the rabbi's house. Writes the Netziv, there's no reason to make a takana here, because it would just never happen. Now, obviously today, that is not a relevant answer, because we know that we do have street lights, and maybe a person would go outside. So the Stechemet writes, well, it's true that the laws of Pesach are intricate, but how many questions really come up on the night of the Seder? Come on. What's really going to happen? Now, I don't know. I question that assumption, because I know every year in my parents' home when I grew up, every year there's a long-standing minhag, and that is that the Willig and the Schechter family always got together. The Willigs have 6 boys and 3 girls, and we have 6 girls and 3 boys. We both have 9 children in our families. Our fathers are very close. And Rabbi Willig and his family always came to visit us, and we always went to visit them on Matzah Yom Tov of Sukkot and Pesach, the first days. So every year, the way the conversation starts is the following. Whoever's house we're at is the same thing. Rabbi Willig sits down and he says, "Nu, Rav Schechter, let me tell you what came up over the last 2 days in my shul." And inevitably, there are always new questions that come up just on the first 2 days of Yom Tov. How could it be? So many new questions every year. There's no year that this doesn't happen. It's every single year that I can remember the same exact routine. So yes, for anyone who's a practicing rabbi, they know that there are many questions that come up every year at the Seder, and people knock on your door every year. This year, the night of the Seder, someone knocked on our door, and we couldn't start the Seder till late because we had to go take care of something. This is what happens every single year, and therefore writes the Netziv, well, who's ever going to have such a question on the night of the Seder? Their answer is, I don't know. Many people in our community seem to have questions on the night of the Seder, so it's something to think about. Anyway, when we speak about a Bris Milah on Shabbos, there is a very fascinating issue. And it's a very contemporary one, and it's one, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the doctor here is the one who really got me thinking about this issue a number of months ago. because it's a question that comes up when we talk about a bris milah for an irreligious person who has a baby boy, and the Yom HaShemini falls out on Shabbos. And this is a very interesting question that was raised in Eretz Yisrael by many contemporary Svarim, and that is, what is one supposed to do? If I am the Mohel and I'm asked to perform a bris milah on a Shabbos for a child who is from an irreligious family, and I know that if we have the bris milah, many family members are going to be mechala Shabbos because they want to attend the bris milah, or for any other reason, attached to the bris milah itself. And the question is, well, does that impact my decision whether or not I should agree to do the bris? Should we perhaps push off the bris milah till Sunday in order to avoid all the chilul Shabbos, or should we do it as normal? So this was a question that was raised to the desk of the Tzitz Eliezer, who was the posek of Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. He has a very beautiful set of svarim, the Tzitz Eliezer, and he writes that this issue came to him, and it's something that many contemporary rabbanim have to deal with, because litzareinu harav, many people, I guess it's a great simcha that many people want to have a bris milah, even though they're not careful about other things, but many people don't know about the laws of Shabbos, and will be mechala Shabbos if we perform a bris milah on Shabbos. And the question here was raised, should we postpone the bris milah to Sunday, or perhaps should we just leave it the way it is? Writes the Tzitz Eliezer as follows. He says, well, you may want to argue that perhaps we should push it off till Sunday, the same way we push off Mikra Megillah to Sunday, and the same way we push off Tkiyah Shofar to Sunday, and the same way we push off Shaking the Lulav to Sunday if it falls out on Shabbos, because we don't want someone to violate an Isser on Shabbos. So too over here, if we know the family members are going to violate an Aveira on Shabbos, maybe we should say, push off the bris to Sunday, don't agree to be the Mohel, and tell them I'll be happy to come Sunday morning. Is that something we should consider, or perhaps should we just leave the bris the way it's supposed to be and do it normally on Shabbos? Writes the Tzitz Eliezer, I don't think this is correct. I don't think we should push it off. He says, number one, Ein medamin gzeira zu lazu. We don't sit and compare one gzeira of Chazal to another. We don't apply and say, well, just because Chazal were concerned in this case, and they told us not to blow shofar on Shabbos, and they told us not to shake lulav on Shabbos, therefore we should also not do something else. This is not our job to start making new takanas. And number two, he says, Ein biyadeinu lechadish gzeiras me'atzmeinu. We don't have the ability to make up a new takana, a new gzeira. So he goes through the issue and he discusses, is this something that is worthy of consideration, or perhaps not? I know that I asked a number of years ago, I asked this to Rav Asher Weiss, and he said, he, in general, by many of the questions that I've posed to him, he has the philosophy that, Ein lanu ligzar gzeiros me'atzmeinu. We don't start making new takanas in our generation. It's hard enough to keep the religion the way it is. We don't have to start instituting new things. Let's just leave it, and let's not try to be Chazal. Let's not try to be the Gemara. Let's just leave all of them and hug him and all the practices the way they were, and whatever is usher, whatever is mutter, and there's no reason to have new ideas. That was his approach to this question, and he felt, let's keep the bris milah at the time that it is supposed to be. So Rav Waldenberg goes into a great discussion about the merits or demerits of pushing off a bris milah in such a circumstance. Would we say that in order to save the family from all of the chilul Shabbos that is going to happen as a result of their participation in the bris milah, maybe we should say, push it off to Sunday? And he writes, the only time that Chazal make a takana, the only time Chazal said, don't blow shofar on Shabbos, and don't read the Megillah, is when we're talking about religious people. So they were concerned, if we're not going to make a safeguard, then the religious person is going to come to violate something far worse. But over here he writes, we're dealing with someone who doesn't care about Shabbos. So what, we have to come up and make a new takana, a new gzera to save them from chilul Shabbos? They couldn't care less. So we should start standing on our heads and coming up with formulas and figuring out how to accommodate for them. He says, there's nothing to accommodate. They're not interested. And therefore, we have an obligation to do the bris milah on the day that we were commanded to do it, on the eighth day. And therefore, he writes, he doesn't see any reason to push it off. And this is something that he feels la halacha, and it's something that he very much pushed for, and it's something that Rav Moshe felt as well, was the proper psak. However, it is not so simple. It is a major point of debate and discussion amongst the contemporary Svarim. So one of the Achronim, who was also in the last century, also discussed the issue, and he said that, look, it might be true that they might be violating Shabbos regardless. They're going to drive to the movies, so instead they're going to drive to the bris. That's not something we should take into account. However, even a non-religious Jew knows that when you perform a bris milah, you have to throw a party. So they might have a different kind of party than a religious Jew might have, but they know that there has to be some kind of party with some kind of food. And therefore, he writes, if we're going to do the bris milah, that's going to cause them not just to drive to the milah on Shabbos. That's not something you have to be concerned about. They're going to drive somewhere else instead, so they may as well drive to shul. However, he writes, what about the fact that you have to consider that maybe they're going to heat up food on Shabbos and cook food on Shabbos for all the guests and do real malacha that they otherwise would not have done because of the fact that this is a bris milah that's taking place on Shabbos. That's something to consider. And therefore the Maharshag and others felt this is something that we need to take into the equation, and perhaps we should push off the bris milah because there's no reason to make people violate Shabbos more as a result of the mitzvah that they are mechuyev to do on Shabbos. And therefore there were those who assumed, let's push it off. Which when I asked my father about it when it came up here, my father also felt that way, that when we have such a circumstance, when we have such a dilemma, he thought the proper way to act is, we should wait until Sunday. We should not do the bris milah on Shabbos if we know that by doing so it's going to cause added chilul Shabbos that otherwise would not have been necessary. And therefore he felt that that is the proper way. Again, as we mentioned, this is a major discussion in the contemporary Svarim. It's something that we really have to think about. Each case by case, you have to really figure out what kind of chilul Shabbos is going to be involved and how much should we perhaps take that into equation and how much perhaps should we just leave the bris milah being done when it's supposed to be done.